Let's go before God today as we continue to seek God's face. Lord, we come in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we come asking for mercy and grace upon this country, upon this world, Lord. Lord, we know we can turn to you. Lord, we know we can put our faith and our hope in you and in your word and your Son and your Spirit, God. We know, Lord, that you are still at work for those who call on your name, those who live their life according to your word, God. God, but we ask that you also speak a word to those who have not believed, those who have not turned their life over to you, those who do not seek to follow your word, Son and Spirit, God. We know in you, Father, there's great love. And you wish for no one to go without your salvation. So we come here today praying that you show your mercy and your grace upon this world. That you once again release your favor and your love and your kindness and your goodness upon people who don't deserve it. You allow and you speak to us once again through your word, Son and Spirit, that we are encouraged to live our lives worthy of your call and worthy of your mercy, God, that you surrender ourselves over to your Son, Christ Jesus. We live by your Spirit, God. Encourage us, God, so we relent from our sinful ways and you relent from allowing this plague to wipe out so many lives, God. Help us, God. You are a faithful God. And your love, Lord, it endures forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the word as we are led by the inspired teaching of the Holy Spirit today. You know, we read a lot of books as we continue to educate and entertain ourselves, but there's no more important book to read than the Word of God. It is the one book that can change and save our lives. See, God's Word has been translated many times from one generation to another so we can read the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And some translations are found in the old way of speaking. And while others are so loosely translated, it begins to lose its meaning. So we have to find that translation that speaks to us, that moves us, so we know God's word and God's will. It leads us to change our lives and live in Christ Jesus. God's word protects us so we can believe and have faith in it, so it can have results in our lives, so we come to understand what God wants in our life and what he's planned for our lives. See, God brought forth his word through several means. He showed visions. He spoke directly to others. And God had his word written down so we can come to know it and obey it. God came to Abraham in a vision, letting him know that God would be a shield for his people. We don't have to be afraid. Abraham had a conversation with God to gain understanding into vision. So he believed and had faith in God. And we must come to know God's word so we can have faith in it, so we can believe in it, so it'll have an effect in our lives, so it can continue to demonstrate God's goodness in our life. See, God spoke to Moses directly, instructing Moses how to lead God's people, how the Lord is the one who equips his servant to carry out his will. So Moses can have faith in what God is speaking. So Moses had to learn as we do that there's nothing impossible for God. If it's God's will, it will be done. And no one and nothing can stop it. We have to believe in what God has spoken, what God has had written down. See, God spoke to Moses about what was to come and how God will respond to how we went about receiving his word. The Lord foretold of how the people will be unfaithful to God for 40 years. And at the end of those 40 years, they will suffer for their sins. See, and know what it's like to have God against them. The Lord said they had to band together and they have come against the Lord. But that will be their end. There should be a warning to all of us that God is still working today. And the way God works is not the way you and I think God works. We can't say we have faith in God and God's word. And if we don't know God's word and how God is going to respond to us and when we disobey it. See, God not only spoke, he also had his word written down. So we have no excuse of not knowing it. See, the Lord wrote on tablets the Ten Commandments out of fire so we know what God expects of us. He gave us clear understanding so we have no excuse. God has had his word written down in a book which we call the Bible. And these words are for us to live by, so we must be careful how we follow the words in this book. And we can't be picking and choosing what we believe in and what we don't believe. We don't want plagues to break out on us. We don't want to prolong disasters to come upon us. For severe and lingering illnesses to come upon us and just devastate us like it is today. See, when these things occur, we should not wonder why, God. Why are you allowing this to happen? See, it should be plain to us because we know the word of God is before us. We have no excuse of knowing how God is going to operate when you and I are faithful and how God is going to operate when you and I turn away from his word. See, God sent forth prophets to spread his word to his people to foretell of what to come. And the Lord warned us. We know if it's a prophet of God or if it's a false prophet of God, because if what the prophet says does not come true, then we know it did not come from God. This person was not sent from God. And we cannot listen to him, and nor can we be afraid of what they're proclaiming and talking about what God is going to do. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22. So we need to know the person who's preaching and teaching to. Do they have a message of God? Is what they're preaching based on God's word? Can we go to God's word and relate to what they're teaching us? Because it's founded in God's word. God has spoken. He had it written down. And what they're preaching and teaching us is of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20-22 says, "But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything that I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other God, must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by God? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, this is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him." See, King David was able to sit in the presence of God and receive. And in their conversation, David asked God why the Lord brought him this far. See, God not only spoke to David about his life and his family, God spoke to David about the things in the future. So the Lord always foretells what is to come before it happens. So you and I can't be surprised. We can't be taken off God. See, God was able to speak to David. And God speaks to us to reveal his plan, to show us what is to come and how God will react to what we do. See, Christ Jesus told us about what the Father was up to, speaking to us, speaking of what he knew, but many would not accept his testimony. See, Christ spoke about our ability to understand the things of God. He said, if we can't understand earthly things, how are we going to believe in what is coming down from heaven? How are we going to receive it? Though it's God's word, though it is God speaking through him. It is for this reason that God changed his word and how it comes forth. And how God expects to us to fulfill it, since we cannot uphold what was spoken and written down. See, God changed the fulfillment of his word to be based on faith. Changing from us carrying out this religious practices to being a person who lives by faith. See, Christ Jesus came to redeem us from curses that was come upon us, redeeming us so we could receive the blessing of Abraham, so by faith we might receive the promises of the Spirit. Thank you, God. See, God's word can't be about us attending religious events and ceremonies. See, now we have to believe in God's word. We have to know it and we have to live by it. We have to speak our belief in the Father and how he raised Christ Jesus from the dead and how we are raised up in Christ Jesus and he presents us in his presence. See, it needs to be real. The word of God has to be real to us. See, God did this for our benefit so we can receive grace so it can reach more and more people, causing thanksgiving to raise up to God. See, God's word was extended from commandments written on tablets and paper to a living word written on our hearts so we're able to live by it so it can be true to us. Though we were dead in sin and our sinful nature, God has made us alive in Christ Jesus. God forgave all of our sin, canceling the written code and his regulations that stood against us. Christ took it away, nailing it to the cross so we can have a chance to receive from God again. Be able to be connected to the Father once again. See, in the past, God spoke to the prophets in various ways. But in these last days, God is speaking through his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things and through whom he made the universe, in whom we must live, and how we must operate in pleasing God is now through his Son, Christ Jesus. You and I can't get there any other way. See, God changed the way we fulfill his word from us carrying out these religious practices that some of us still do today, to having a faith established in Christ. It's like changing from communicating through a telephone to now communicating through the text. It's the same information, but now we receive it different and we respond to it different. It's personal. It's direct, so you and I are able to receive it without excuse. It was made plain to us. We're able to get it in our hearts and in our minds, and we're able to live it because it came directly to us. We received it from the very word of God. We received it from the voice of Christ Jesus. See, God's will is that we learn to humble ourselves so we can receive. He allows us to go hungry to teach us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, King David came to understand this, and you and I must come to understand that. He knew if God did good toward him, he would live. He would live. He would have life. David wanted God to open his eyes so he can have understanding into the wonderful things found in God's word. He knew he needed to live as a stranger on this earth so his soul could be consumed by God's word. He just wanted the word of God in his heart so badly. King David sought it. He knew he needed it. And you and I gotta have the mind like David. We gotta want the word of God. We gotta seek the word of God. It's gotta be something we want inside of us that leads and guides us into the ways of God. God's word is what Christ Jesus used against Satan when he approached Christ trying to test him. After 40 days and 40 nights, Christ was hungry. And then Satan came up and tried to tempt Christ Jesus, trying to get him to deny the Father. It was the same word we must have to resist Satan, stand fast in what God has said, and do not live on bread alone. We live on every word of God, and you and I got to have it in our hearts. It's got to be in us. God has not changed his word. But now we receive it, and how it is fulfilled has changed from this written word that we use in a religious way to a living word found in Christ Jesus, a spiritual world that found in our hearts. Go with me to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. So Christ Jesus became the living word. And through faith in him, we live out our lives under his grace and mercy, because God, he's so wonderful. He provided a way for us through his son, Christ Jesus. And you and I must receive it. We must live in it. It must be alive in us. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things was made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. See, Christ Jesus come and mark the change in the way we receive the Word of God. God the Father, with his great love and rich mercy, made his word alive in Christ Jesus. So we can live our lives under grace and be saved. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. So through Christ, we receive the kindness of God. Through Christ, the word became a living word that is active, sharper than any double-edged sword. The living word penetrates the divine and soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. For us alive today, we can no longer merely listen to the word and deceive ourselves. We must now live in it, doing as it says. To treat the living word as a religious practice and not living by it is like a person who looks in the mirror and turns away and forgets what they look like. But if we live it, let it change us, and not forgetting what is in it, but doing it, then we will be blessed in what we do. Through the living word, we receive God's grace, mercy, which gives us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, and a heritage that can never perish, spoil, or fade away. Through the living faith, we're assured by God's power to the coming of salvation found in Christ Jesus. And through Christ, we're born again. Not a perishable seed, but imperishable seed. Through the living and doing word of God, Christ makes the word alive in us, challenging us to examine our lives, how we walk, how we think, and what we believe in. We can't forget. We're like grass, here today and gone tomorrow. We must live our lives in Christ Jesus every day so we receive eternal life from God. See, Christ Jesus coming and his departure marked a change in the way we receive the word of God. And now God's word has to be near us and in our mouth and in our hearts. Now it's not about just knowing the word of God. We have to believe the word of God just as so we're justified by faith in what we do and how we walk about and live in this life. We have to work on our salvation. So the word of God dwells richly in us. So we're taught and given wisdom, and we are inspired to sing to the Lord with gratitudes in our hearts. It's in us. It's who we are in Christ Jesus. It's alive. The word of God is alive in us now. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. The word has to be in our hearts. So what we do, both in word and deed, we do in Christ Jesus. We hold to the word of God. We hold to our relationship with Christ. We let no one destroy it. Nothing can take it away from us. It's alive in us now. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitudes in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's now a living word. Can you see it? It's a living word. It's not found just on tablets and paper so you and I can pick it up one day, put it down the next day. It's a living word. Now it has to live and reside inside of us everywhere we go, everything we do. It needs to be a living word in us. See, a living word has to be in our hearts. So we don't remain sinful and have an unbelieving heart that turns us away from the living God. The word of God has to be in our hearts so we're encouraged daily so our heart is not hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, the word needs to be in our hearts, and we have a sharing Christ Jesus, a desire in the Lord, a hold firmly to the end, so we have confidence in the last days. God's word must be received in our hearts, so our salvation is certain that no one can take it away. No one can snatch us out of Jesus' hands. See, we have to pay attention to God. So this morning start, it says Christ Jesus raises up in our hearts. See, it's not a religious thing. We don't spend our time trying to translate God's word. This is about having a living word in our hearts, so we have confidence in our salvation and we're carried by the Spirit of God. Thank you. See, we draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance, with full faith, with our hearts sprinkling, cleansing us from all our guilt and conscience, and washes our body so we remain faithful to the things of God. We hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, believing God is faithful in his promises, and Christ is more than enough for us. See, the word becomes a living testimony. It comes from our heart. See, if we just repeat what others say and we don't have a living testimony in our heart, it's not real. Our living testimony has to be real. It must be able to testify what we receive, what God has done in our life, what Christ Jesus has spoken and moved in our life. It must be in us. It must be real. It must be who we are. God's word has not changed. How we receive it has changed. See, in the beginning, it was a written word. See, in the beginning, it was made for us to be able to walk holy with God. It was hard. It was stern. It had real rules that you had to go by, but we made it into a religious thing. Doing religious practices and traditions and religious sacrifices. See, we made it a religious thing when God was trying to give us the very thing we can have and live by and have a holy life with God. See, but then God did an amazing thing. When Christ Jesus came, he made it a living word. We have to believe in God's Son through faith, desire to know God. See, it became a living word which allows us to be saved by grace and seek the kingdom of God. So we have all the things. And see, we're healed by faith now. See, we're saved through grace. See, we live by faith now. It's a living word. It's inside of us. It raises up in us so we know God's will in our life. It gives us godly knowledge. It gives us godly understanding. It became a living word. Now it's no longer just a word on tablets and paper. Now the word of God through Christ Jesus has come alive in us so we can seek the kingdom of God correctly. And then God, through his amazing love for us, when Christ Jesus departed, he said, I'm going to do one more amazing thing if the people of God can receive it and understand it. He said, in the last days, we have to see God's word through his spirit so it can be in our heart and live inside of us. See, we're through Christ now departing. He then allows and gives us access to the Holy Spirit so we can be led by the Spirit, so we get taught by the Spirit, so we know about the Father and the Son through the Spirit. Seeking God with all our hearts, being spiritually minded, being spiritually fed, being spiritually lifted up so we can go through a spiritual transformation, a spiritual cleansing, so we can develop a spirit connection with Christ Jesus, have a spirit connection with God, because we know God is spirit, and we must live by faith, and we must live by the Spirit, so we have a real relationship with God. So his word is not only alive in us, his word becomes us. It's who we are. It's what we do. We don't turn away. We don't change for any situation. The word of God has become alive in us. It's in our heart. It's in our mind. It's in our soul. It's who we are. Just, we become spirit and we're connected with God in a spiritual way now. Lord, help us. The Christ we believe and our faith, our hope is established in God. We take the word into our hearts and we are purified by obeying God's truth, living our lives by faith. It comes from having God's word in our heart and his spirit residing inside of us. It's in our heart. We receive the revelations of Christ Jesus, and we're prepared for what is to come. To us who believe, it's a living word. It's a spiritual word. It's a word of the heart. So we are saved by it. See, we work on our salvations. We're blessed. And we're blessed because we take God's word into our heart. We receive the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we live it every day. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God had a plan from the beginning. His word was to come alive in us, to reside in our hearts. God wanted this from the beginning. It was something that from the beginning, but we couldn't receive it. We had to turn it into something else. You know how we are. We always taking something. We always try to modify it so it seems like it comes from us, like we the author of this word. But see, God's word is never meant to be authored by man. We must receive it. It's a living word. Christ, the living word, came and demonstrated how God's word can live inside of us. It can be alive in us today, in this time, in this situation, in this circumstances. Thank you, Jesus. God's word has not changed. We have. God did something amazing to help save us even in this generation. We need to change how we receive it. See, if we would continue to receive the word as religious rules and practices and traditions, we'll never grow as God expects us to grow. We'll be stuck. We'll be in that same religious place year after year, and we teach these religious ways to our children, and they get stuck in religious ways because we have not moved to a spiritual relationship with God. It is for this reason God sent his son into the world so we could receive his living word. Christ became the living word, so our belief in him is real. So we have someone who can demonstrate how to live by God's word. See, on Christ's departure, how we receive the living word changed. In these last days, we receive the word in our hearts by the Spirit of Christ Jesus. We must have a spiritual experience with the Lord, so we are transformed and changed and have a spiritual connection with God. See, God is spirit, and all of this has become a spiritual thing for you and I. We must connect with God spiritually now. Take his word. Let it live in our heart. Raise it up. Let it come to us spiritually so it goes beyond our human understanding. It goes beyond our human beliefs. It gets into the spirit realm where there is no human trace. There is nothing human about it. There is no human translation. There is the Spirit of God foretelling, speaking, revealing the word of God into our hearts and minds so we can believe. We're spiritually changed as the Spirit teaches us how to follow God's word and will. The word of God must be active and alive in us, Lord Jesus. Able to have his way in us. The Spirit must be able to reside in us without us grieving and causing it, because we're trying to live as humans in this world. We have not elevated our faith to a spiritual walk with God. God said your faith must be established in a spiritual way with me. The word is the same. It must live in us. And we must receive it now through Christ Jesus. And allow him to send that Holy Spirit upon us. And then you and I must then take it. Take what God has spoken. Take what Christ Jesus has revealed and lived. And let it reside spiritually on us. So we have a spiritual connection with God. A spiritual connection with Christ Jesus. And we all come together in the body of Christ. It's a spiritual thing that God has been trying to work in our lives. But we keep trying to make it religious. We need to let go of that and become a spiritual world for us to move and grow and establish ourselves. And touch lives and share with people how God is still alive today. Still working today. Even in this circumstance. Even in the middle of this coronavirus, God is still working today, and you and I must receive it. We must believe in it. We must have faith in it. Go seek God. Seek him in a spiritual way. Ask him to open up your eyes, like he said with King David. Lord, open up our eyes so we can receive you, Lord Jesus. We can receive you, Father God, spiritually, God. Give us understanding. Open up our minds to the ways of God. God, help us. Bless us. God is the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.